Blog Talk Radio.
Which direction we are going?
We have reached a tipping point.
Tipping points, because goodness knows you can't have a new era unless you blatantly announce it. It certainly worked for the Divas Revolution. I am Stephen Platinum, joined by the man about town, Larry Goodman. How are you doing tonight, Larry?
I'm doing well. Well, it didn't take you long to start taking shots.
Oh, no. I mean, when you have this week in between, because if we play three the hard way, I mean, I'm itching for a scrap, as they say. And yeah. I'm just glad somebody pointed out that they have. Could you imagine if people were paying for these pay-per-views? Not that they're horrible, but if you paid $60 for a pay-per-view and 20 minutes of it was the McMahons yapping, and the payoff was, and my decision is basically no decision, the two of you will just do it together, I don't know. I'd be a little miffed.
Some of the crappiest storytelling first, of course, that Shane sticks around and runs Raw, even though the stipulation said he would be gone. And now we've got the two of them together. And how did Vince arrive at that decision? I did not see the pay-per-view, so I do not know what logic was imparted to justify this, if there was any at all.
Logic was, you got to fight for it. You got to fight for what you want. So there you go. The two of them are doing it. And so now Stephanie McMahon, who I know you're a fan of, I am not. Now we get to watch her switch from babyface to heel every other segment that she's on Raw, where she's contrite and a bitch. And even the other wrestlers sort of point out, well, but you did do all that charity stuff. But, but you've been kind of mean. It's like, oh my God. My mantra is always, it's like they don't even know how to make money anymore. But a new era was announced. I don't know. Is there a cool factor of announcing the new era? Isn't that the death knell of every wrestling federation ever, when they basically tell you, guys, we got to hit the reset button, we know before was not so good, but now from now on, we promise it will be. Oof.
Well,
that's always a scary proposition to me.
I'm more of a believer in showing rather than telling.
Yes, sir.
And then if you show, you don't need to tell.
Yeah. Let's just jump right into Baron Corbin.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Baron Corbin, I was curious, you're like, the Barry Windham comparison, and I'm like, where does that come from? And you rightfully pointed out his look, his sort of body shape, and the fact that he's using the Lone Wolf moniker, which was a Barry Windham thing. Why does that bother you so much? Not that I disagree.
Okay, so it bothers me for a couple reasons. For one thing, Baron Corbin may be a competent wrestler and may have a future in the WWE. But that guy's never going to draw money. He's never going to be a top guy, in my opinion. That is simply not going to happen for Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
And I hope they don't over-push him more than they already have to sort of, back him into a corner and put him in a worse spot than he's already in with this push. But what bothers me is that I think the Lone Wolf moniker for Barry was came a little later, like I want to say early 90s
yes,
for him.
Absolutely.
And
mm-hmm.
For anybody who didn't see his work in the mid-80s, or, you know, seen YouTubes and stuff of that era, before he tore up his knee, before he put on too much weight, I had the pleasure of seeing him during his run in Georgia for Crockett when he was on top, and that guy was one of the best, absolutely, top 10 in the world. One of the best workers I have ever seen anywhere in that era. So, I mean, there was nothing that guy couldn't do. He was amazing. And to see him, Baron Corbin compared with him, I mean, I know, you know, they're not comparing him with that era of Barry Windham. I sure hope not. But it's apples and oranges.
Barry Windham, I was having a discussion with people recently about guys who, like, I was like, I have my like top five what could have been guys, and one of them is Barry Windham, where it's like he was such a great, I mean, it was sort of attributed that he was just this natural talent, and when you watch him wrestle, there's a fluidity and just kind of a natural ease. And not that he didn't sell, not that he didn't do any of that stuff, but it was, my God, it looked like it came so easy. These sort of like, you know, ass over tea kettle bumps over the ropes. And he was a tall, I mean, again, he's a mulligan, right? Like, I mean, he's a freaking big old drink of water. And Kendall Windham was one of these guys that I was like, Kendall Windham could have been a bigger star in his own right, but he had the misfortune of being Barry's brother. And you're not going to win that fight, you know? And Barry Windham was one of the top five guys that I went. And that guy, Barry, didn't work out a lick. And I think he was just, you know, Flair and others have described him as he's just a total natural one of the boys. You know, he like fit right away. You wanted to party and drink, he could do that. He was a laid back guy who got along with people. He was just that guy. And I always think, like, if he hadn't torn up his knee, if he had sort of applied himself more, it's interesting to think what could have been. And it's more lamenting, like you said, that a younger generation didn't get to see that Barry Windham. But certainly you can go back and find the stuff. You know, you look at his run in the Horseman, then you look at his run out of the Horseman when he was taking on Flair. You look on it like any matches he did in tag matches against the Road Warrior. I mean, just everything that guy did was awesome. Barry Windham holds that sort of spot with me where, like, others on the list included like Andre the Giant. What if Andre the Giant didn't live every day like it was going to be his last? You know, what if he didn't have it in his head that, well, hell, I'm going to be dead in 3 years, so I'm just going to eat and drink my way to the grave? It's because, again, if you've only seen Andre from, say, WrestleMania 3 on, you saw this sort of like lumbering, like, even though he was bigger than he had ever been, he was really only a shell of what he once was, which was a guy who threw drop kicks, and his splash was something to be feared, not because it would really kill you, but because of, my God. I mean, you look at the pictures in the magazines of him getting air and him being able to work routines that was unthinkable once he got larger. And, yeah, Baron Corbin, I don't – again, I'm trying to think of examples of guys that were saddled with the idea of being somebody who was great and actually lived up to it. I can think of two off the top of my head, you know, where Benoit was sort of given that early Dynamite Kid label. And I mean, I got to think that it's one of those things that drove him and maybe drove him a little crazy. That's a hard thing to live up to. And Corbin, to paraphrase, I saw Barry Windham wrestle live and on TV, and you, sir, as of now at least, are no Barry Windham.
No,
we'll have to see what comes of that. And, you know, and then last night, Enzo was hurt because of the concussion, and Cass is wrestling, and Jeff G was telling me this morning, he was like, man, you know, Vince had to be drooling watching Big Cass move around that ring, you know?
Right.
It's like, oh, look at that guy. I mean, so Corbin's maybe not even the destined guy even, because you look at Cass and go, gosh, he's got the size. He moves around really well. The crowd really takes to him. And Corbin, they're already making him a victim of 50-50 booking.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He dropped a match to Ziggler in the pre-show. And then you got to wonder what's going on from here. So interesting time, interesting time. You didn't see the pay-per-view. You did go to AWE. What was your overall take? I mean, it sounds like they had a good crowd and kept the expenses down a little bit. At least that's what it looked like based on the card.
Yeah, they definitely kept the expenses down. I mean, they didn't bring anywhere close to the kind of outside talent that they've done on some of their other shows. And they had a lot of people coming in for tryouts that were, shall we say, paid very minimally. But as far as people coming in from distance, I mean, you had Martin Stone coming in and Heidi Lovelace coming in, but, you know, not really anybody else that comes to mind. I mean, Rude Boy Riley, yeah, but I don't know that he got, you know, a lot of money to come in. So, yeah, I mean, the wrestling's all – there's always good wrestling on those shows.
Yeah.
To me, I would err on the side, or I would come down on the side of more entertainment and less wrestling. It's just too much of the same style for a three-hour show. You know, brawling outside the ring in every match, a lot of the same moves in every match. I think they need to mix that up a little bit more. I know they're going with the strong, you know, Southern Strong style branding kind of thing, but still I think a little more variety would help them. That said, I thought Adrian Armour really raised his game and had a fine match with Martin Stone. I really enjoyed that match a lot. I always enjoy Ashton Starr. I did very much like Rude Boy Riley and Aaron Epic, and the main event was really good. So they certainly had a lot of good matches. There was a scary moment for Heidi Lovelace in that doing that senton off the top and just banging her head on the mat. That was as solemn as I've heard an AWE crowd, because it was clear that this could have been really serious. So,
you know, the parallels to WWE are interesting, where WWE had that the injury to Enzo at the pay-per-view that kind of stopped everything cold. And the WWE on that pay-per-view, I know you didn't watch it, but if you just look at the results, it was like roll-up city and run-in city. And that's what Raw has become as well, where it's just everything is set up by wrestler A is mad at wrestler B, and then they end up getting into a fight that anybody could see coming a mile away. So why are babyfaces getting cold-cocked? You know, here comes Chris Jericho to interrupt Dean Ambrose. There's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
Why is anybody shocked by it? And everything is set up by a fight. You know, if there's a guest commentator at ringside, he or she is going to get involved. It's all very tiresome. I saw somebody's trying to give WWE credit for complicated booking. Where they're maybe this Roman Reigns thing is actually this really like subversive heel thing they're doing and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, are you kidding? They can't, they've got two stories, which is I'm going to attack you during your match and I'm going to win by a roll up because you're going to turn around because you're distracted easily. I mean, the fact that there used to be really great Finnish guys in wrestling. And
well,
I wonder if those guys are still there.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, isn't Arn Anderson still there? Don't they still have guys that are good, aren't known as good Finnish guys? Why do they keep using all these distraction finishes all the time?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes, you know, you just kind of rely on shtick, or, you know, maybe they're more beholden to the writers than we think, or Vince McMahon thinks it's a great idea. I don't know the answer to that question. When you think about, and this would make an interesting entire tipping point, but when you think of great Finnish guys from the past, I mean, Pat Patterson supposedly was Finnish, great for a great Finnish guy, right? Like he'd come up with sort of, a lot of guys give him credit for, like he came up with this this finish for our match, and it kind of blew us away. But then Pat Patterson also booked garbage, right? Like, he booked that overbooked thing where Undertaker lost the match because 75 heels interfered in the casket match. I mean, and, you know, and then he levitates out of the thing. That was Pat Patterson, but the word was Pat Patterson is a great finish guy. Adam Pearce, I heard, given credit, that's sort of how he got the booking gig in Ring of Honor, is he was a great finish guy for the boys in Ring of Honor. And that's sort of how he got his niche into booking, was he was just good at coming up with finishes. And, man, do they need some of that. They got 30 writers. Can we get some good finishes? And you got Arn Anderson and some of the smartest guys in wrestling there. I don't know. It would just behoove them, I think, to just – a good rule of thumb is if you have the same finish in two matches on the same card, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I think that's just a good rule of thumb that more guys need to follow.
Well, yeah, clearly – The too many cooks is not working for WWE. And I know that, you know, it all has to go run through Vince, and it doesn't matter. You know, there's all the filtering that goes on. So there's all those complications. But whatever, you know, what they're doing now just is not working from a storyline perspective. But I guess the money just keeps coming in, and it's a different era, if not a new era in that sense. And it doesn't really matter in terms of the bottom line of their profits, I guess, anymore.
Mm. Well, as the ratings continue to be as bad as they've been in 20 years, and, it'll be interesting. And they've obviously done this sort of shakeup, and it hasn't taken yet. It's going to be interesting to see what this exactly means, that it's a new era.
Right.
I can't wait to see. And, you know, I love wrestling, so I'm going to keep watching. But, woo, sometimes not so easy. But we have, I don't know if our guest is ready yet, but I don't know if you wanted to talk a little bit about what we're going to, he is awesome. Do you want to go ahead and introduce him?
Yeah, I think this is him on the line here. We're joined now by the promoter of Throwback Championship Wrestling, formerly part of the NWA and now part of the AIWF, which I'm sure he will tell us about. A prior guest, the always controversial and interesting Chris Lash. Welcome to the show.
Guys, it's always a pleasure to be with you. And let me start with this. Great American Wrestling in Knoxville is dead. Great American Wrestling in Knoxville is dead. There is a God.
Chris, that's a big open. Tell us about Great American is wrestling. Tell us about Great American being dead. What does that mean to the people who, like, give us a little background on that? Wow.
Well, when you work so many people so many times, you know, you come to the end of your rope. And what he did up there was he put all of his eggs into one basket. His ring, his money mark, and everything else that he had was all on one person. And when that person wised up to the work, he pulled everything. Well, now Great American Wrestling has no ring, no money, no building, no nothing. They're dead, and they're out of business. And that's a good thing for the wrestling business as a whole, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, the he you're referencing, Krish, for those who don't know, is?
It's Troy Lowe.
Troy Lowe, yes.
Yes.
So... I noticed in one of your recent posts that you are back on TV in Knoxville. Is that correct?
Well, that's one of the markets we're picking up. We picked up Nashville first, since the whole NWA thing, and then Knoxville. And then today I got connected to Birmingham, Chattanooga, and Panama City. So that's where we're looking to expand.
Chris, it's me, Steve. Let me just ask a question right off the bat. I read the background on what's going on with the NWA, but I'll just ask the question that'll allow you to sort of talk about it in a succinct manner. What is Bruce Tharp's issue? They no longer wanted you underneath their umbrella. I know it was sort of spelled out. I just don't get, what do you think the real reason is? Well, first of all, what's the reason that he gave? And then what do you think, that there's another reason? Because I really didn't get it out of that.
I'll give you the reason that he gave first, and that was the launching of a Roku channel that I'm doing with another gentleman who was a former NWA promoter in England, and that is Billy Wood. We joined forces together to launch this Roku channel, All Wrestling, coming up later on this summer. The reason was is that it was a conflict of interest in what we would put on the Roku channel with what they have with the NWA Classics online, even though they don't have a Roku channel. So those were the reasons that he gave me. And I'll just say this. I pitched three ideas starting back in January to the NWA that I was willing to finance all of. And the first idea was a national TV show. They haven't had any kind of a national television show since Dave Marquez was in the NWA and did the showcase show out in L.A., which was pretty well done. So I said, I have a place to do it. It's a built-in production facility. I'm willing to pay for the entire thing. It's close to some of the talent who can also, you know, assist in booking this. Maybe I could ask some legends to help us book this show, and I recommended Jim Cornette to them, and that we could go ahead and do this. Well, after writing back and forth with a couple of the leadership in the NWA, it finally came down to a phone call with Bruce, and he pretty much said, you know, if you want to go ahead and do this, it can be your product, and maybe if we think it's good enough, maybe it could turn into a national product. But, you know, we have to control the book, and we have to control the talent, and to be honest with you, I have three, four, five places that this could be done, and you know, it all takes money, and I'm not sure if that's the direction we want to go. So I dropped it. The second idea was the Roku channel. And I thought, I have the connection now through Pivot Share to do a Roku channel that they set up like they've done for Maryland Championship Wrestling and High Spots and numerous others. Very well done, by the way. And it's relatively inexpensive to do. We could move NWA Classics onto the Roku channel and then give exposure to all of the NWA members that have television, and here would be our Roku channel. That was shut down. Something, again, they wanted to do themselves, and I connected them with Pivot Share and another entity in Chattanooga who does the Indie Wrestling Channel to show them and be able to put up a Roku channel for them. So that was shut down. The third idea, and I did this with a face-to-face meeting at WrestleMania week in Dallas, because we were there for the Parade of Champions show, was to run again a larger scale show in Orlando next year. I used to be a partner in Vintage Wrestling, the most consistent and probably the best promotion in Florida. We have all the connections. We have all the buildings. Matter of fact, I put a hold on several buildings so that we'd know that we'd have them for next year. And I pitched doing the NWA show and got the same answer. We control all the talent. If you want to use your money, that's fine. We control all the booking. We control everything. We're going to do it different than we did in Dallas. We had a short leash on that one. But, you know, it's going to be our way or the highway. And then I pitched about doing what I thought was a unique thing to sell tickets, and that would be Global Force versus NWA. And for about 30 seconds, they liked that, and they dropped it, and they said, oh, no, you know, they're inferior to us. And so I just kind of raised my hand, and I said, I'm going to do a show with my friends at Vintage, you know, in Orlando next year, and if you're interested in renting, you know, the building that we already have, feel free to reach out. Well, they went ahead and started looking for buildings on their own while telling me that they possibly might work with us. So really, it came down to, I shared all the ideas. I always took it up to the top. I thought that was the right thing to do. I thought that was the right thing to play by the rules. And when I announced that we were launching the Roku channel, Billy and I, boom, I mean, within 3 or 4 hours later, via text, via messenger on Facebook, I was told I was no longer part of it. I was taken off the promoter's form, and I was gone. And my opinion is, guys, is that, you know, you got to move forward. And you know, there's lots of good ideas out there. And if someone's willing to step up and say, hey, I'll accept this challenge, let's elevate the brand, I think that you take a look at it. But, you know, apparently I was wrong.
Do you feel like if this had, I mean, because when I hear NWA and Bruce Starr, all I think of is like if it, they care about Texas and Bruce Starr cares about wearing a shiny jacket and being in Japan. And like, I mean, that's just my take. I mean, you're offering, I mean, just to make it clear, you are offering to basically front the bill for these ideas, right? So
that's
the financial
really
risk on their financial risk was nothing, and all they could get was benefit. I don't get this idea of, well, you know, like the Global Force idea. Well, we're bigger than them. Well, are you? Like, I don't know. I don't get that from the financial standpoint. It's one thing if you'd said, you know, I can make the arrangements and get you things as cheap as possible. It won't cost you that much. But you were basically saying, I'm going to put up the money. I believe in this idea. I'll put up the money. And I kind of want you guys to go along for the ride. Am I hearing that wrong?
Nope, you're hearing it correctly. I thought Parade of Champions was well done. I thought it was a good event. And I thought we could build on that. So when I was thinking about, if you're looking at what Jeff is doing with Global Force right now, he's partnering with, you know, some of the largest indies. He partnered with Crimson, who's at Tried and True Wrestling, who's just doing a phenomenal job. Just phenomenal. At their shows of 1,500 people. And Jeff's doing it with Maryland and other promotions. AML in North Carolina. I thought, here's a way to go in to WrestleMania week, which has so much stuff going on. Everybody's running. Ring of Honor, Evolve, other indies. High Spots has WrestleCon and all their little shows and matches that they put on. Here was a way to stand out and sell tickets and get us noticed even more. So, you know, that's the reason I pitched that specific idea. It didn't have to be that way. It was just an idea. But, everything comes from the top down. I'll answer your question that way. Everything comes from the top down. If you're a heel wearing jackets in Japan, why are you doing the heel gimmick wearing jackets in the States when you're the president of the NWA? I'll leave it at that.
Chris, who else is, you know, would be at the top of the power structure besides Bruce Starr? Is it just Bruce, or are there others that are, you know, there as well?
No, there's others. James Beard, the longtime legendary referee who really did a ton of work at Parade of Champions and just an outstanding guy. And Rob Conway would also be at the very, very top. Rob's counted on for a lot of different things and, of course, is very, very knowledgeable, especially, you know, in a locker room with finishes and setting up matches and being an agent. You know, he's great. So that's the structure that I know of. As far as referring to Texas, yeah, there's a lot of promotions there, but I didn't see any bias towards them. I just see that there's a lot there, and there's been some that have been there even with the old regime that came to the new regime. So, again, a lot of good people. There's a lot of great people and promoters, but I just felt like, you know, there really isn't any say. And even when you take the ideas to the top, there really isn't any say. Unless it's their idea, it's nobody's idea.
What do you know about, or what can you tell us about the success or lack thereof of the NWA Classics site and concept?
From what I understand, you know, it's done pretty well. I think the numbers are like, you know, 400 plus subscribers, and that's a pretty nice income, you know, coming in that could do a lot of things, I think, to finance, you know, the NWA. I know that leadership has more ideas of what they want to do. They have even discussed going public and having an IPO and trying to raise money that way because they feel to do television right and do the other things that they need millions of dollars, and that's just not the case. You don't need millions of dollars to put together a TV product in this day and age. You know, we can sit and look at all the write-up about TNA and everything that's been going on there and what they might spend, you know, to TV. You don't have to go to Orlando to Universal to do a quality television show. You know, there's a lot of tricks you can do. And, guys, I was with Jim Cornette and Danny Davis for a year at OVW and what they do up there in that production facility. And, you know, it's not the WWE, and you're never going to compete with Vince. But, you know, there's lots of things that can be done, especially with talent, to make a good television product and with the right editors. And I think I've got some really good ones that surround me and have been a part of what we've done. We were, you know, filming TV in a strip mall rental site, and yet it came out looking pretty good considering how small the building was. So you need millions of dollars. Why does everybody think they have to compete with Vince? I don't understand that. Ring of Honor's TV looks really good right now. On most occasions, they got a new set. They've done this and they've done that, and they certainly have the talent. Again, you can have a show that doesn't have necessarily the production qualities that Vince has. I mean, guys, the stage for Raw, the setup for Raw, if you rented that alone, would be like $100,000. You don't have to have that. Why try to compete? ECW didn't. It did something cutting edge. Why not try something different? And that's what I was trying to do, and those were the ideas I was trying to share.
Chris, what was the thought process behind, okay, you're going to leave where the NWA and you are no longer working together. Why jump in bed with AIWF? What was the thinking there? Is the plan to be sort of the crown jewel of the AIWF? Is there?
Well, I had a couple
sort of take advantage
of. Well, a couple of guys called me and said, consider this. And initially I thought, the last thing I want to do is be under another umbrella. And I just kind of avoided it and, had some nice talks with Matt Classic and some other folks that were kind of putting it over to me. And I thought, I just don't want to do that. And as the talks kind of progressed, they showed me their desire and their ideas to want to improve their members' products, especially with television. And again, I think I've gotten some great experience learning from Danny and Jim, as well as from my editors, of what can be done. So I can have a vision and they can make it happen. So they kept saying to me, we think you could help us elevate our products. The people we've talked to, say your reputation is good. We think that it would be a big help, and we're only going to get better by the people we surround ourselves with. So they came to me and they said, would you kind of be like the director of media? Would you help us, improve our television product? Would you help us look towards maybe doing, our own type of national show? And at the same time, here's some things we can help you with. And guys, they opened me up to three new television markets, Birmingham and Chattanooga and Panama City, within 2 days. So it's been a give, give and give. And so far, I've been impressed with their help. They've done more for me in 2 days than the NWA did for me in 8 months.
Well, now, what kind of stations are you going to be on in those markets?
Well, I think some of them are pretty good, Larry. Chattanooga, a lot of professional wrestling airs on low-power television stations.
Yeah.
But those low-power television stations are on cable. They're on Time Warner and Comcast and Charter. So I think that two of the three, I think Birmingham's a full power, but I think the other two, Chattanooga and Panama City, are low powers that happen to be on the cable systems.
Okay.
Those are the type of stations, yeah. Yeah, but to me, that's great. If you look at Sinclair with Ring of Honor, I mean, those are all full-power stations, but they do own low-power stations that happen to be, happen to be carried on cable networks as well.
And this will be the throwback product that you're running out of Lewisburg, Tennessee, correct? That's what's going to be on these stations?
Yes, we're shooting, we shoot there.
When we left off with you, of course, you were still in Knoxville with the last time we were on the show, and tell us how that came about, where you're now running out of Lewisburg, and then you got on Huntsville TV, and just kind of bring us up to speed.
Well, first off, my wife's a physical therapist and got a job offer in Tullahoma, Tennessee, so she decided to take that. So that was the real reason why we moved. Second, when I was going to join the NWA, I was told that the Knoxville market, which used to be Next Level Wrestling with Devin Driscoll, who is my champion, he had not run and decided that he wasn't going to run. So that Knoxville, because their television show was airing there, NWA Smoky Mountain had Knoxville. So Bruce said to go to Tony Gibbons and try to work out a deal, and Tony and I could not get a deal. By the way, Tony was the first one to post when I got kicked out, by the way, so that's fine. There's heat there, and I don't give a damn. I don't care. So I kind of was like, I couldn't have Knoxville, even though I was shooting there. Matter of fact, I wasn't even allowed to shoot there anymore. I couldn't even go to Lenore City to shoot TV anymore. So if you want to talk about playing by the rules, I sucked it up and played by the rules, did what they told me to do. So I picked up, you know, Huntsville as kind of my city because that's how they do things. And we kind of went from there, and I partnered up with Mikey Dunn and the folks at ASW. Again, I'm 52 years old, guys. I don't want to set up rings anymore. If I can go in and work on an arrangement to come in and you have the ring set up and you have lighting already and I can enhance it by spending some money, then that's what I want to do to shoot my TV. So that's how that came about. I played by the rules and came to Huntington, came to this area to do the show.
I'm curious about Lewisburg, and I know you've got a big show coming up this coming Friday night. What's made Lewisburg somewhat of a hotbed? I mean, I know there's another arena in town that's bringing in, you know, some name stars. Like they have Cornette and Jimmy Hart and Honky Tonk Man coming in. I mean, that's a pretty small town. I mean, what's up with all that?
Well, I think that with Chandler Anderson, you're speaking about Money Mark Productions. Chandler's from Lewisburg, so I think that's part of it. I know that
okay.
he has other things that, you know, that he comes across at what he wants to do against some other promoters. But, yeah, he's been drawing. He's left me alone. He's been nice to me, so I can't say anything bad about it. But it is kind of interesting that Lewisburg's kind of become this mecca. I mean, our show Friday night, I really think it's one of the largest in the state so far with the talent that we have coming in. But he's doing the same, and it's kind of interesting. I'm running Friday with our big show, and he's running Saturday with a huge show with my mentor, Jim Cornette, as part of the show. So it's been kind of interesting, and I think competition is good for everybody at times, and it'll be interesting to see how we both do.
Yeah, yeah. How have you been doing in Lewisburg in general terms?
Again, we've been doing good. You know, when you go into a new place, if you're going to open up a town yourself and you're doing everything from the ring to the advertising to all the marketing that you need to set up a town, you know, you got to build that town up, number one, and then you got to get your guys over. Well, they already have a built-in audience that's there, you know, 125 to 200 people every week in their building. They've been running for well over 10 years weekly. So then what do I have to do? Well, all the other stuff is kind of in place. So I'm going in and shooting my television before their shows. Now, that's not the case this Friday. This is a regular, like, house show that I'm shooting also for TV Friday night that I get to keep all the revenue for. But then what you have to do is, then you have to work with your storylines and your talent to get your guys over. So that's, you know, the secondary challenge, still a major challenge, but it's worked and the audience has received this very, very well because they know when we're coming, we're bringing, like, top names with us that are part of our regular roster. I mean, I sit back and go, what's going on with TNA? And I've got four or five of their talent, you know, as part of our regular roster. It's, you know, it's been great. I mean, they're just phenomenal people. They listen and they do so well.
Fill us in a little bit about specifically what you got going this Friday.
Friday night, regular house show with Throwback. We've got my champion Devin Driscoll and Crimson in a Cage. They've met before, and I'm doing this because of outside interference by Tokyo Monster Cahagas and other people in his stable. I've got Bullet Bay Amber O'Neill taking on Rebel. Rebel has been just a great part of what I'm doing. Tanea is great. I highly recommend her to any promoter that wants to have women's wrestling. And then I've got Dalton Castle coming in from Ring of Honor, who I think right now is the most over talent next to Jay Lethal in Ring of Honor. Looking forward to having him in there taking on Chase Owens from the Bullet Club as well. So, you know, that's just going to be a great match when you think about the two of those guys. And then even, you know, our secondary card with our tag team match and just some of our preliminaries, again, is just great talent. And that's what I've been going for since day one, since I restocked and said, I'm going to relaunch because of Troy Lowe and what he did to me in Great American Wrestling. I'm going to book the best talent. And since last August, you know, we've done just that. So it's really made a huge difference. And, it's just improved the TV product as a whole. You can have some bad lighting, guys, or you can not have your pipe and drape set up perfectly or something, but you can make up for that when you have great talent in the ring, and I think that we've done that from day one.
you know, Ben, this has been a great interview. I have a question, completely shifting gears. So you mentioned Troy again. As somebody who, there's a saying that, you know, you're nobody until you have enemies. And, like, what is your reaction to, like, Troy and Great American being done? Like, are you sort of reflective about it? Are you a Spike the football guy? Obviously, the first thing out of your mouth was that they were dead, but when it boils down to it, like, is a relationship with Troy anything you would even consider in the future, or is it just one of those where it's like, it doesn't just, what's your overriding emotion? Do you feel good because you're right and they're wrong? Like, what, like, I just want to know as a very, very vindictive person, what you think about these kind of things.
Well, I always say this, maybe I'm not vindictive, but I'm an antagonist, and I'm a really bad antagonist. I just always been that way because I'm in the radio business and I've competed against newspapers and created a lot of enemies that way with different markets. I ran stations in our own. So that's just in me. So it's just, you know, here I'm in like the two biggest ego businesses in the world, radio and wrestling. You know what I mean?
Oh, boy.
So, you know, it certainly is there. But, you know, I've gone through every emotion with that. I mean, certainly anger and certainly spiking the football. When I first I knew he was dead in December, but I just waited and thought he's going to post something. You know, he's going to try to get it back on. He's going to try to do something. There's no way to go when you don't have any money. Okay, what do I think of Troy? I think there's a lot of things he's very talented at. I think he's a great comic book guy. I think he's a great artist. I think that he's great at graphics. He's great at all that stuff. I mean, really, really talented. And all of us that enjoy wrestling or ever wanted to be a promoter or got into the business always wanted to be the booker. Hell, we're armchair bookers. You guys were talking about it before I came on the air with the
sure.
WWE and all the writers that they have. We all aspire to do that. That's the fun side of it. But here's what you can't do. You can't just go and do it right off the bat. You need to learn. And that's what I always tried to tell Troy. Learn from Dr. Tom. Learn from Jim Cornette. We'll have these guys around. Learn from them. Ask them questions. Ask Tom why he would do this. Ask him why he would do that. Troy didn't want to do that. Troy thinks he's a great writer. The problem is he's a comic book writer. So you take that end of it and try to go into wrestling booking, and you get the product that he created on Great American Wrestling, which was a cartoon. He even admitted, I'm going to do nothing but put over my superheroes, the superheroes that I created. Well, sometimes you can't get talent to be those particular superheroes that you create, or your writing is so bad that no matter how talented they are, they can't do it. So what you saw was a comic book version in Troy's mind of what he thinks wrestling should be. He'll tell you it was Memphis. It wasn't Memphis. Yes, there was a couple things in the way he shot things with the table and the live announcer and the live interviews that was Memphis, but nothing that he wrote had Memphis in it. It was comic book world. And it just didn't work. It, you know, if you look at Shakira and what Mike Quackenbush and those guys did, they went and did it the right way. But again, a lot of knowledge there with Mike Quackenbush and other people that he's with. But this was never going to stick. It was terrible on TV. It was embarrassing what they tried to do. So again, going through every emotion, by the time I just said, you know, I know they're done, I just didn't care anymore. I just thought, you know, it's just probably better for everybody.
Could you just give us an example of the type of comic book, well, maybe not comic book characters is not the right word, but the type of characters he was pushing?
Oh, now you're making me get more specific. And really, I've never sat and watched an entire episode the whole way through. You know, I even asked Troy, I said, send them to me. Send them to me on YouTube or send them to me in the mail and let me watch them on DVD. So I never got to see one specifically through. But, I mean, one gimmick he had, a guy, I guess, was a manager, but he was an insurance agent. And he was coming out and selling insurance to the wrestlers before they wrestled a match, you know, in the ring. okay, maybe something could be done with that. We had IRS back in the day or whatever. But, you know, just things like that. And their audience wasn't there, and the audience wasn't into it. Nothing was over, and nothing was working.
You know, to call that Memphis, which is, you know, oh, it's like Memphis, for all the knocks that Memphis got, and, you know, oh, it's that Tennessee bullshit, at the end of the day, Memphis is also the group that coined the phrase, personal issues sell tickets. And they understood that more than anything. And sorry, an insurance selling manager has no chance of getting their hooks in anybody. You know?
Well, when I think about Memphis and how successful it was, Memphis Wrestling was the highest-rated television show in its time slot in the United States of America. Jerry Jarrett knew what he was doing. Jerry Lawler and all those guys knew what they were doing. And you're exactly right. That's how they, you know, put it across, and that's why it got over with the viewing public. I mean, at one point, 60% of all of Memphis's television audience was watching Memphis Wrestling on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible.
But you can't go and try take your ring guy and put a mask on him and call him Uncle Slam, and make a guy who's never been on TV, never talked in front of a camera or on a microphone, and make him the commissioner. No disrespect to the ring guy, but make him the commissioner of your promotion and expect it to go well and expect it to come across to an audience live, let alone the harder way of coming across to an audience on TV. I just try to do it simply. I go to the school of Jim Cornette and Ring of Honor. I give you a reason of why my guys are going to fight. They're going to tell you why they're going to fight. They go and fight. You know, don't try to put something over the audience's head. Make them realize what it's about and what the storyline is and why you're doing it. I mean, I just try to keep it simple. You go try to do all these comic book characters and all this different stuff, and, you know, 9 chances out of 10, it's just not going to fly.
Well, I mean, I know that Great American is dead, but one might as well shove a little more dirt on the grave. I mean, the only thing I really heard from guys about it was that they just didn't have the talent. I mean, separate from whatever characters they might be trying to develop, the talent was very low grade. So
I've been accused, of course, in the past of ripping on talent, and I'm not going to do that. You know, I believe it starts from the top down, and I throw everything.
I agree.
I throw everything at Troy. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're going to go, because PCW started with basically all my trainees who were all green as grass. But if that's the case, you need the mind that's going to put them in the most advantageous position possible while you're building things up and guys are getting better. And, you know, Troy's just not capable. And you know what? Another one bites the dust. It sounds so brutal, but it's just like, My God, I mean, wrestling is rife with these stories of guys that just start doing it, and eventually they just run out. This thing is a marathon. It's hard, and, you know, it's not for everybody. And
it
so,
really is a marathon, and you need to have the money, like, set aside for a year, you know, and know that no matter what, I got this coming in, it's going to go right back out again. But look at the promotions in the country that are huge and that are doing well. I mentioned some of them earlier. Maryland Championship Wrestling, Tried and True, that Crimson is doing at Clarksville, is amazing. AML in North Carolina, and many, many others that are just doing Paragon, that are just doing it the right way. And, you know, listen to people. That's the key. You're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. Are you kidding me? Devin Driscoll gives me ideas all the time. I don't think I'm a great writer. People give me – Chase Owens gives me ideas. Everybody gives me ideas. My editors do. Those are the people to listen to. Heck, the fans give me good ideas occasionally. You know, listen to everybody. It only can make your product better. Don't think that you're the king, because when you're the king, you last 4 months – like Great American Wrestling did.
Chris, one last question for me. What's your predictions on what you're going to be able to do for AIWF? Where do you see the director of media, like, how do you think you're going to be able to elevate him? Because, I mean, I got to admit, it's a head-scratching move. I get that at least they've come to you sort of hat in hand and, like, help us out, and they've hooked you up. And that's good. That's certainly a positive, more than the NWA did. But I got to be honest, I look at AIWF and I just go, whose dream is it to be under somebody else's umbrella unless you think you could make that thing something significant, much more than it is now? What's your goal there?
Well, first off today, guys, I have been buried by my own friends over this today all day long. I mean, I'm hearing from friends of mine that I haven't heard from in years going, what are you doing, Lash? Well, again, I have not watched all of their products, so I've got to take some time, you know, to do that on top of, you know, all the things that I want to do. We're still going to do the WrestleMania show. I'm still expanding my own TV and trying to enhance it even more. But again, if all of us sat back and said, I only care about myself and my own thing, how do we ever teach or improve anybody else? How do we ever become that person where they say, I say Jim Cornette is my mentor. He is my mentor. That man has taught me more in a year than I've done in 20 years of promoting. I listen to every word he says, everything he does. I watch his eyes. I watch how he sells gimmicks. I watch how he looks at lighting. I watch everything the man does, trying to get inside of his head as to how to properly put together a wrestling television show the right way. And I think it's wonderful to learn from people like that. Now, I am not him, but I have learned things from him to improve our product. If I can watch and help these guys improve their product, maybe they end up weeding some people out. I don't know. That's not my decision. But I think we all have to get to a place where we should be able to help other people. And that's what I looked at. Like, I can help some others. Maybe they have questions. Maybe I have ideas and tricks that I can teach them that they can do to enhance their television product without having to spend a lot of money. It's really not that difficult if you're creative about it. So, and my ideas to the NWA were just that. How can I help? If I can only help financially, here's my three ideas. How can I help this way? How can I help with TV? I've got a production facility. What can I do? But if you don't want to listen or you don't want to try to help or get help, then what's the use? So that's the way I look at these guys. Let me try to help. Let me see what I can do. And all I can say is give me some time and see if I can enhance them.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for giving us being generous and giving us so much time tonight and laying all this out for us, exactly what's going down with NWA and what's going down with you and AIWF. And we wish you success Friday night with your big show.
Well, thanks, guys. Was that controversial enough or not enough?
Pretty good.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, guys. As always, thank you.
Take care.
All right.
Larry.
Yes.
I don't think it's a secret. If we were cartoon angel and devil, we know which one's wearing red, right? That's me. But I gotta ask you, when you hear Chris talk about AIWF, and clearly he's gonna be able to, I think it's a case where he's gonna be able to help them more than they're gonna help him. That's my guess anyway. Where do you put the value of the modern day? Let's start with the NWA. I mean, you know, Bruce Tharp kind of did this hostile takeover thing where he sort of bullied them into giving him the NWA over this lawsuit thing and all this other stuff. Do you think the NWA, I mean, what's the value of it? Is it just a logo? Is it just a logo, a name, and a very good tape library? Or is it more than that?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, yeah, I don't see that it really does much for the members or that it can really go anywhere. I don't know what else to say. I don't see a lot of value in it myself. From somebody who absolutely loved the NWA when it was what it was, I just don't see much to it, much point in it anymore.
The AIWF, to me, I understood why Charles and Southern Fried joined it, actually, because I think they saw it as a chance of, we can be sort of the crown jewel of this thing, such as it is. You know, they got the tournament, so they got to crown the first America's champion or whatever it was, and I could see that. At the same time, I don't know. It's like my dream. I can understand at some point, certainly the territories developed for a very good reason. The NWA developed for a very good reason, which was ultimately this is a way that we could all make money without cutting each other's throats. That makes sense. I don't see the modern incarnation benefiting anybody. That's not to say there aren't good NWA promotions, particularly in the Carolinas and things like that. But I mean, NWA Atlanta, I mean, we haven't talked about that. NWA Atlanta is just gone, right? Like, they just, and not a peep, not a ripple. And I mean, the song remains the same. It didn't mean anything. I'm glad Tyson Dean got a match with whoever their world champ was at the time. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I'll just call it the post-Barons NWA era. I'm just not impressed. When I think of Bruce Tharp, I think of a guy who wears a really shiny, bright jacket and seems like he's just mugging for camera time in Japan. That's what I see. Whether that's fair or not, I don't know. But I don't know. I think Chris Lash, I think it's a blessing in disguise. I think AIWF is a place where, I mean, if he makes anything happen, it's a boon to them, right? If he can make some kind of television happen on some way, shape, or form, it's got to be an improvement. Then maybe he can teach Matt Classic to use the grammar and spell check on his fucking post, so I'll start taking them more seriously. So,
well, you know, the
just
thing,
saying.
Just to go back to the NWA for just a second, you know, the thing that made it interesting and exciting at back in the day was cycling talent through different territories, getting to see guys you didn't get to see, they're coming from other places, a touring champion that was really a world champion,
yes,
and all that. And without that, then what is it? I don't get it. If you're not doing those things, I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because, I mean, just talking to Lash, I mean, you give up a lot of control. It's like, oh, it's your money, but we have to book it. We have to control it. Well, why? What are you doing that's so amazing? What are you doing where I can damage your brand? You know, Bill Barons and I used to go round and round about me booking Adam Pearce when he was NWA World Champion. I may not have liked it, but at least I understood the argument, right? Which is, he's the guy that's the symbol of our thing that we're trying to build, and you're just appropriating it. Which was absolutely correct. Of course it's what I was doing, right? I was basically trying to get all the benefits of being in the NWA without giving them any of the money or doing anything else. So I got that. But at this point, I mean, I guess I'll put it like this, and people listening to it, I challenge you to do the same. Who's the NWA world champion? The defense rests. I mean, I can tell you, and granted, I'm closer to it, I can tell you who everybody's champion is in all the promotions in Georgia. I can tell you. And I can't tell you who that champ is, and I read Bruce Tharp's posts all the time. I know more about matches that are showing up on NWA Classics than I do about who their champ is, who their tag champ is, et cetera, and so on. So I guess, you know, an AIWF, I'll give it to them. They put out who their champions are all the time. The problem is I look at those lists and I just go, this is just so indie-rific, I can't take it. You know,
yeah.
it just reeks of that. Maybe they'll be able to shed some of that, or maybe they don't want to. I think, you know, they give away their memberships for a song in the hopes that they'll be able to claim this big number. We're over here, we're in Australia, we're here, there, and everywhere. And maybe that's just good enough. And maybe they're counting on, you know, if Lash can get this television show going for them, that'll sort of make them a player in the game. But I maybe Charles can explain. I really can't explain. My dream is PCW, right? And there's guys that don't like me, clearly. But at the end of the day, at least like AWE is a great example. I don't see Josh going, let me be under someone else's umbrella, You know, it's like, this is the thing I want to do. This is where I want my name to be associated with.
Well, and actually, he's doing what the NWA used to do, and that he's bringing through a lot of talent from different areas through this loose association with other promotions like Tier One and Freelance, and so forth, and mm-hmm. getting a lot of talent into Georgia without being a member of anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I certainly, AIWF has nothing to lose by getting seeing if Lash can help him. Absolutely.
Sure. Well, whew. Barn burner. As a follow-up to, I feel the need to say this, Larry, and correct me or add anything to this. Our Hughes thing last time was a stick of dynamite. You know, it's probably the most listened to one we've ever had.
It is, certainly.
A big dust-up between Hughes and Fox, but apparently they've mended fences, and I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to see it. I think it's one of those things where a bunch of them could have just handled themselves better. Man, that was a big, huge thing. What do you see going forward as far as the WWA Force school? Certainly Fox, I think, and I mean, I've said this multiple times while talking to Hughes, like, if nothing else, he brings a kind of an unbridled energy that place hasn't seen since, in more than a decade. That's me putting myself over, by the way. And so, like Fox, he's really pushing those shows. They seem to have a plan. The students seem very excited. But at the same time, and I'll just put it bluntly like this, what's Fox going to teach you? Not that he's ignorant, but I mean, Fox is really great at being AR Fox. Does that translate into him being able to give his Foxness to others? I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that? You see a lot of the WWA 4 guys wrestle around for all promotions, really. What do you think Fox is going to be able to bring?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what he can bring as a trainer for the reasons that you mentioned and the reasons that Hughes mentioned. I mean, he's an extremely talented guy, but does that translate into him being a good trainer? I have a lot of questions about that. It may attract some students who are interested in that style, and clearly they've produced a lot of hot talent out of that school. So I don't know that this stuff that was being that Hughes was bringing up about him, his porn movie past, that really is going to stop people from coming to the school. I doubt that.
No, if you're willing to put up with the fact that it's behind a strip club, again, I used to be the trainer there. And I mean, that's if you're there to train, you've already put up with the fact that, I mean, I'll just say it. It's in Fulton Industrial. It's behind a strip club. It's a shithole.
Yeah.
It's a shithole. And, but this is wrestling training. And at the end of the day, I guess Fox will be measured by who comes out of that school. And that'll be, and realistically, and this is not a knock at Hughes, and I would challenge anybody who thinks this is wrong to say it, Fox trained a lot of those guys, from what I understand. That, like, at one point, Fox was basically doing the training. So I don't think the shift is as abrupt as was implied, where it's like the Hughes era is done and the Fox era begins. I think Fox has always sort of had a hand, and you can see it in guys who have gone through that school. I mean, do guys like Stitch Cypher, Charade/Dragon Shinron, and Black Baron wrestle like Mr. Hughes? WWA 4 guys are far more a reflection of Fox and his sort of style and sensibilities.
I had the same understanding as you as far as that Fox was doing a fair amount and has been doing a fair amount of the training for some time now. So that does seem to be a fair assessment to me.
Mm. Where are you off to this weekend, Larry? Certainly, PCW has a show, just saying, but there's also a ton of shows. So which one are you thinking about going to?
I am going to be going to my niece's wedding in Chicago, and unfortunately, I will be because of the schedule of activities. I will not be able to go to the freelance show, which I've been wanting to see a freelance show. I think there's another show in Chicago this weekend that's good. And whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I can't go. So I'm just trying to block it out. I'm going to go up and have a good time at her wedding and see the family. So I'm out of action for wrestling this weekend. And actually, I'm out of Georgia probably for a little bit here, because the following weekend is Dothan, Alabama, Continental Championship Wrestling weekend, and a lot of Georgia talent on the show and a lot of old-timers appearances, and I'm kind of a mark for that stuff. So a lot of our, you know, Jimmy Rave's going to be down there and a bunch of other Georgia guys, Beautiful Bald Besties. It's a whole list of people that are going to be in that show in Dothan on the 14th. And I think the 21st, I'm probably going to go to Gastonia to see Zack Sabre Jr. versus John Skyler. So,
Nice. Nice,
so
nice.
I may be away from the Georgia scene for a little bit. One other thing before we go, I promised a quick stock tip on WWE stock. And
please, yes.
Yes. Well, WWE stock's been in a downtrend now for a while. And, you know, the numbers came out after WrestleMania, and it really – you know, didn't really work to their advantage. Anyway, if you're so inclined to invest in WWE, and I'm not recommending this as an investment, but if you're a person who was going to do that, it's right now it's at $16, almost $17 a share. If it goes below 16, get out. If you want to take a shot here, go ahead. But if it goes below 16, let that be it. You know, it's been as high as what? No, go ahead.
No. I was just saying, think when you asked, like, what's the highest it's gone lately? It used to be a sure bet that if you picked up the stock around the beginning of the year and then sold soon after WrestleMania, you always made a little money. Like, I always played that little game for fun.
Well, what happened is with WWE stock, of course, is that it had that big run up in early 2014 when they were negotiating the TV, and then when that was a bomb, the stock went all the way back down to $10.
Yeah.
Then built back to up to over $20 in 2015. And since the middle of 2015, it's just been pretty much trending down. So yeah. If you want to take a shot, don't let it go below 16.
That's right. And remember, ratings don't matter, right?
Right.
Mantra we need to just keep telling ourselves. And, you know, in the end, no matter what happens with stock, you could always supplement your stocks with gold. And I think I know just the guy that can hook you up. That's what we call a button in the business, kids. Thank you for listening. What's up for me this weekend is my wife, who is winding up her teaching tenure at the end of this year. So she's the drama teacher at a middle school, and they're doing Hairspray. They're going out big with a big old musical. So it's this weekend. So I'm tied up with that and cosplay nonsense with my daughter for Civil War. She's got her whole Captain America outfit ready to go. But I will be at PCW in the third Saturday of the month to answer Danger's challenge for hair versus hair. I mean, to me, it doesn't seem fair. I have like this luxurious mane and he's got this like pine straw on the top of his head, but I am going to answer his challenge as far as the hair versus hair and how I think it should go down. So that's what I'm going to do. But as far as wrestling over the next 2 weeks, I don't know. You know, there's a bunch of shows in Florida happening. I'm gonna pop in and check out one of those, I think.
Cool.
And I'll be sure to let you know what I see.
All right. Well, we will be back in 2 weeks. And, of course, next week will be Three the Hard Way with Hankins and Wood. And we will be return, what would that be, the 17th? Yes, May 17th.
May 17th. And thank you for joining us. And we will see you in 2 weeks for the Tipping Point.
And where is that outro, Steve? Oh, yes. It's here somewhere. There we go.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.